Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the service. And especially if there's any visitors here in the church or up in the hall, most welcome. And we also give a very warm welcome to the Reverend Victor Patterson, who has come all the way up from that nice place called Moira. He has come here to take our service today. So you're very, very welcome back again.
Thank you once again. It's lovely to be back again with you here in Clocker and Glenhoy, and it's lovely, and it's a lovely day to be able to join together in worship at this time. And we do so as we think of the words of Psalm 66. The psalmist said, "Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds, so great is your power." Sing, make his praise glorious. That's what we come to do this morning, to give him all the praise of our hearts. So let's join in doing so in our opening praise. It's, all people that on earth do dwell. Let us now unite in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, that in wisdom you have set aside one day and seven, whereby we're able to turn aside from other things and to worship you. Lord, what a privilege it is to worship you, to think upon your greatness and your goodness, to think upon all that you have done for us, to give you the praise of our hearts, the adoration of our lips. Oh, we worship you today, our gracious God. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you have looked after us and blessed us since last we met together. Thank you indeed for all your goodness during the past week, wherever we have been, in our homes, on the roads, in our place of work, at school or college. Lord, we thank you indeed that you always guide and keep your people. And so we come with thanksgiving for your great love and your goodness to us each day. Thank you too, Lord, for every good and perfect gift that we have been given, and we so richly enjoy, and we rejoice again in all your love. But oh, we come, Lord, especially as we remember your greatness and your goodness. We remember your love to us in Jesus, that you so loved the world. Oh, we can hardly take in what that meant or what that still means, that you loved the world so much that you sent your only begotten Son. We come, Lord, today with hearts filled with wonder and filled with praise. We remember how the Lord Jesus left the glory of heaven and came into this world to live amongst men. Lord, we rejoice indeed that he was willing to do this, that he was willing to take our place because we were lost and we were undone. We had no hope in this world or the world to come. But Jesus came. Jesus came to and took our place on Calvary's tree and took our sin upon himself and bore it away. Oh, we thank you, our gracious God, for your great love to us in Jesus. Lord, we realize that men and women everywhere need to know and to hear about this wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. And we pray that wherever we go, that the loveliness, the beauty of Jesus would be seen in the hearts and lives of all your people and all that they do day by day. But Lord, we're very conscious today again of our unworthiness as we come before you. Your word tells us that we're to seek after holiness and righteousness, without which no man can see the Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for those things that we say and those things that we do. Lord, at times we doubt you, and we pray that you would forgive us. Help us to remember the great promises in your word, and with all our hearts to dwell upon them and not to be distracted by the evil taunts of the enemy, but to always rejoice in your goodness and to know that you will never leave nor forsake your people. And so we thank you for all the blessings that are ours, for every good and every perfect gift. Lord, we pray that you would guide us this morning as we turn to your word. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we have. We have your word in our own language, and we can read it and we can listen to it, expound it. We pray this morning once again that your Holy Spirit would guide us in all that we do, that every one of us, from the youngest upwards, might understand clearly and with all our hearts desire to follow you more and more. So bless us, Lord. Bless everywhere today where your word is going forth. Bless, Lord, we pray, in every vacancy, and we ask indeed that your people would be encouraged and strengthened wherever they are, and their desire would be to show forth your glory day by day. So guide us now in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let us read together from God's word. We read from the letter of John, 1 John. So if you turn, well, it's hard to know which way to get it, but if you turn to Revelation and then turn back about five pages, then you'll get 1 John chapter, and we're reading from chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. Verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. We know that if we have come to know him, if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked, or as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Amen, and God will bless to us this reading from his word today. Well, boys and girls, it's lovely to see you all this morning. And there's a verse, I want to start this morning with a very simple verse that I hope you'll all remember. Maybe you know it very well already. It's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 37. And it says this, very simple. It says, whenever you say yes, mean yes. Whenever you say no, mean no. Now, that's not hard to remember. Sure, it's not, boys and girls. Whenever you say yes, mean yes. Whenever you say no, mean no. You see, the sad thing is that you'll meet people, and there are many people who maybe would say yes to you, but then after a time they change their minds and they say no. They really tell a lie, and they don't keep their promise that they've made. You know, at this time of the year, I'm sure there are people looking back and thinking that they made New Year resolutions, and it's just 3 weeks away or so. And the person who said, now, in this New Year, I'm going to do such and such a thing. I wonder what we say about the boys and girls. I wonder, say, this New Year, I'm going to eat all my vegetables, all the cabbage, whenever there's cabbage on the plate, all the broccoli, whenever there's broccoli in the plate, and all the things like that, all the leeks, whenever there are leeks on the plate, all these good things that sometimes boys and girls don't like. Or you make a promise to say, I'm going to eat all these this year. I hope you do, because they're good to for you. And maybe somebody has said, look, I got some very good toys at Christmas, and I promise to let my younger sister play with them, or my younger brother play with them. Not keep them all to myself. Well, I hope you keep that promise. You see, whenever we promise, we should do what we say. Now, the Bible is full of promises. That's the thing. Whenever you read the Bible, boys and girls, always look out for the promises. And they're wonderful promises, right from the very start. Do you remember the children of Israel were in Egypt? And they were there, they were really there for many years, and they were captives there. They were like slaves there. And God said, I will bring you out of Egypt and bring you into the promised land, a promised land. And God, of course, kept his promise. He sent Moses, and Moses guided the people through the wilderness into the promised land. But even more than that, later on in the Bible, we read about the promise of a Messiah to come, a Savior to come. Many places it tells us about him coming. And of course, God kept his promise. And the Lord Jesus came and was born in Bethlehem. Wonderful promises that we have in the Bible. And it's great to be able to, whenever you're reading the Bible, and say, that's a great promise. And I must remember that promise. And whenever the Lord Jesus was speaking to people, he, of course, he made many wonderful promises to the people. He said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that a great promise? Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And whenever we come to Jesus, when we trust in the Lord Jesus, Jesus has said, I will never cast you out. I will never tell you to go away. That's a wonderful, wonderful promise. He will not turn anyone away who comes unto him. And then Jesus, of course, has said that I will come. He said, I will come back again. And one day he's coming back again. And he will, of course, keep his promise. So, boys and girls, whenever you make a promise, make sure you keep it, won't you? Remember what the Bible says? Whenever you say yes, mean yes. Whenever you say no, mean no. Very simple, that, isn't it? It doesn't say, look, you can say yes and then change your mind and say no after a while. Sometimes maybe you have to change your mind about something, but then you have to apologize and say to someone, I made a mistake. But whenever you, boys and girls, what we must do whenever we promise is to keep the promise. And remember the promises in the Bible, the promises of the Lord Jesus. He will never break a promise. And whatever, wherever you are, whenever you're, whatever a day brings, remember Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So will you remember the promises, boys and girls? And remember the verse, whenever you say yes, mean yes. When you say no, mean no. Now let's join in our hymn together. It's Timeless, Timeless Love. Now let us again unite in prayer. Lord, once again we lift up our voices, we lift up our hearts in thanksgiving as we remember your love and your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you place us in families. And we do pray for every family connected with these two congregations today. We especially pray, Lord, for those families where they're bringing up their children at a young age. And Lord, we pray that you would give the parents the wisdom and the help that they need and all that they do, and that they would seek to instruct their children day by day in the ways of truth and righteousness. Bless every boy and girl, Lord. We thank you for them, each one, and we pray that you would be with them and bless them, keep them safe at school, and bless their school teachers as well. And may all that is done be for your glory, that our young people would grow up in the truth of your word, and the truth that leads always to righteousness and holiness, and that they would love you and trust you from an early age. We pray for all the organizations connected, Lord, with the congregations. We think of the youth club. We pray that you would bless the leaders and grant that as the young people come together, they might have that happy time, but also that they'll hear and they'll even see through the leaders the difference the Lord Jesus makes, and may their desire be for him. But Lord, we remember those who are not able to be with us because of age or frailty today. Be with them, any who are in hospital or any who are ill at home. We pray that you would surround them with your love, and may they know your peace, and may they know your blessing. Oh, we thank you indeed that you promised never to leave nor forsake your people. And even in times of sickness, Lord, may your people be very conscious that you're with them and your everlasting arms round about them day by day. Oh, that your peace might be theirs day by day. Bless those who, Lord, are seeking to care in hospitals, the doctors and the nurses. May they know your help and strength in these very busy times. May they be able to bring that healing touch to many in their care. And Lord, we pray for the many vacant congregations today. Especially we think of Drumore and Drumquin. We pray that you'll be with, Lord, your servant here, as he looks after them as well. Give him the help and the strength that he needs, and may he have the wisdom and to know what to do and how to guide things in the coming days. That those two congregations might, Lord, in your will, be able to call a minister in the days that lie ahead. Not only them, but we think of many others, Lord. Oh, there's so many at this time. We pray that you would bless and encourage your people, even in a time of vacancy, that your people would be encouraged to continue to reach out. Your people would be encouraged to continue to reach out to the young people and the older people in the district in which they're placed, that they would have the joy of seeing others coming to know and to love the Lord Jesus. So bless, Lord, we pray, in these situations. And again, Lord, we remember our land before you. These past weeks have been so difficult. And we pray, Lord, that those in authority over us would do what is right, and they would seek to live in such a way that would be an example to all those who look to them. We pray, Lord, that you would give that wisdom that is needed to those in authority over us, not only in Stormont, but also in Westminster, Lord, everywhere, where, Lord, that there are those in charge. We pray that you would bless and help them to make the right decisions for your honor and for your glory. And where there's trouble, Lord, we ask that you would come and help those who bring healing. Think, Lord, of the family of the young woman murdered down in near Dublin the past week. And we pray that you would be with the family circle and surround them with your love in these days. There's so much violence, so much hatred. Lord, we long that men and women might turn with all their hearts to the Savior, and the hatred and the violence would be taken away, and there would be a desire for truth and righteousness and holiness. And so we pray, Lord, that you would bless our land, bless us today as we turn to your word. May the Lord Jesus be exalted. As we turn to your word, Lord, may your Holy Spirit work in all our hearts, and that Jesus would be exalted in this place and in our homes and lives in the coming days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us this morning to look together for a few minutes at some of the verses that are raised in 1 John chapter 2 and verses, not a verse in chapter 2, but not only chapter 2, but in this little letter of John. You know, I think what we have seen over the past number of weeks is that there's such uncertainty in the countryside. Whenever there's uncertainty in government, whenever there's uncertainty in the top of even the royal family, well, it passes down into to everyone else. But the thing is, nowadays we're being told, and in the church we're being told, we've got to change. We're to turn away and from some of the things that we've believed for years and years and years, and to change into to other ways. Marriage is one of the things that's going to come up over and over again, and the whole aspect of marriage. The Bible teaches so clearly between a man and a woman, but now we're being told it's between two men and two women in all sorts of different ways. But the Bible is clear about these things, and we have got to stand firm. We can't be uncertain about these things. Because whenever there's uncertainty, it brings fear. It brings fear. And yet in the Scriptures, so often we read, of course, we're told to fear not. The angels said to the shepherds, whenever they come out, they were out in the fields, and the angels said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day a Savior who in the city of David." John in the Isle of Patmos at the end of the Bible was told, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. So the Bible is full of great encouragements that we're not to fear. We're not to fear. The Bible is full of certainties, and that's what I want us to think about this morning. Instead of, many people nowadays, you'd think they would nearly always say, "I hope this will happen," or I'll be optimistic, maybe this will happen. Well, the Bible is so different in so many different ways. We can say, I know. And that's what this little letter is about. It's about certainty in the midst of really what we would say is uncertainty today. In chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "We know we have come to know him." We know we have come to know him. In chapter 3 and verse 14, "We know we have passed from death unto life." So these are the things that are absolutely, whenever you say we know, then you're certain. You're not vacillating about things. You're not tempted to begin to doubt. You know. And so I want us to think about past certainties, present certainties, and future certainties this morning. Let's think first of all about past certainties. It tells you in verse 7, it tells you, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. It's a message you have heard. The certainties of the past provide a good foundation for the future. You have that illustration that years ago in times, you know, whenever you're a student, you get all types of occupations and working on a building site. And whenever you'd work on the building site, now and again, you see you'd have the foundations all prepared and the pegs in for leveling the concrete. And then whenever the concrete's poured and all level, well, then you know you can sit back and say, well, look, that's a good foundation. You know that that's right. You know that that's right. And you can build then upon that foundation. And that's what every house requires, that good foundation to be able to build upon. The events of the past, really, in a sense, are a foundation for the future. Now, think first of all of the covenant that God made with his people. Abraham heard God's gracious promise, I will be your God and the God of your children after you. God did not, and of course he would not ever break his covenant. He would never break his promise. That's why I was saying to the boys and girls, let your yes be yes and your no be no. God never breaks his promise. It's an everlasting covenant. So much so that whenever Zechariah, at the beginning of the New Testament in Luke chapter 1, whenever he was in the temple and Mary and Joseph brought the infant child Jesus into the temple, Zechariah raised up his voice in praise and thanksgiving and said, God hath raised up an horn of salvation to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, which he swore to her father. He remembered the covenant. God hadn't broken the covenant that he had promised to Abraham. He kept his promise. But as part of that covenant, of course, the Messiah had come. He was promised too. And the people who had walked in darkness would be set free. It's lovely to think about it this way. Think about a Savior promised. Whenever we look forward to Christmas, that we're thinking of a Savior promise. But also think about the Savior who came. And he came what to do? To seek and to save. He came to give himself a ransom for many. The Lord Jesus hung between heaven and earth. Why? To save his people. He took our sin upon himself that we might go free. So nothing, you see, could be more certain than this. We know he was promised. We know he came. We know he died for sinners. We know he conquered sin and death and the grave. We know he is alive. We know all these things have taken place. He's returned to heaven, and we know that one day he's going to come back again. But we know all these things in the past. We're certain. We're certain. God looked upon the work of his son and he was well pleased. I love that, to think of that. This is my beloved son, he said, in whom I am well pleased. Everything the Lord Jesus did was perfect. He died in our place, a perfect man, dying for those who were so imperfect. These are past certainties, and we know that God has already done this. We should not fear. We shouldn't fear. But it's not only, you see, past events of years ago. If you're a Christian this morning, every Christian, the past certainties in our own lives. When you can look back, you see, you can look back and we know. What do we know? We know we have passed from death unto life. It tells us that in chapter 3 in verse 14. John could speak so clearly of this. We know we have passed. We know that we were dead in trespasses and sins. We know that we have been made alive in him. It's not wonderful. The certainty of that. That we were lost. We were dead and trespassed. Now we've been made alive. Alive in Jesus. We know that in him there is life and life abundantly. And so look back then. Look back. Not just to look back to the events of thousands of years ago, and we must keep that in mind always, but look back in your own life. If you're a Christian, look back to that time whenever you opened your heart and trusted in the Lord Jesus and you rejoiced to know that you'd passed from death unto life. And you can now say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Isn't that so wonderful? You can look back and say, I once was lost. I can look back on that. But now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And we need to think upon these things, the certainties, you see. The future is built upon the past. Just the way the foundation in the house of the house, it has to be good or the house will eventually fall. But you see, whenever we trust Christ, whenever we remember what he has done, whenever we remember what he has done in our lives, then the future will not fall. The future will not collapse because Jesus has done this for us. And we can say with the hymn writer, we'll praise him for all that has passed and we'll trust him for all that's to come. Praise him for all that has passed and trust him for all that is to come. So the certainties of the past, it's good to be sure of what has happened in the past. But what about the certainties of the present? The certainties of the present. Now people say we must live a day at a time. And that in a sense, that's right, of course. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus said, take no thought of tomorrow, for and then he went on to say, we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The constant message of the Bible, of course, is of God guiding his people day by day. Read again the story of the Exodus. Read how God brought the people out of Egypt, and then day by day, the fire by night, the cloud by day, the manna every day, God looked after them and cared for them day after day, till he brought them into the promised land. The way God guides his people, in him, there is strength for every day. So that's the same today for us, isn't it? So what is certain now? What is certain now? Well, if you look at verse 5 again, just of our reading, it tells us, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. This is how we know we are in him. Now, how does John illustrate this? Well, he does it by giving two examples. First of all, he tells us in verse 4 about a man who does not do what he commands. That person is a liar. If a person says, look, I'm a Christian, but look, you know by the way he lives, he would steal the eye out of your head, for instance, or he's running after somebody else's wife, or whatever the case might be. You know, whatever it is, you know that person is not true. You know that person, it can't be true. It can't be true. John tells us, you know that this is the case. He tells us that he does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But then he goes on to say, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Our desire is to do his will. Our desire is to walk in his way. Our desire is to walk in the way of righteousness and holiness. Our desire is to show the love of the Lord Jesus wherever we go. Whenever a person truly loves the Lord Jesus, then this should be the desire of their hearts. This should be the desire of their hearts. It's not just enough to say, oh, I believe this and this. There's evidence, and the life has changed. The life has changed. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away and all things become new. So this is how we know, he tells us here. This is the certainty now. And that's what you have to say to every one of us, you see, everyone, all who profess to be Christians. Is it your desire to walk in his way? Is it your desire to love the things that he loves? Do you love the word of God? Do you love the house of God? Do you love to show forth the beauty of Jesus? That's the thing, you know, that is to be done. Not to go out from here and just live whatever way we like, but to live in such a way that Jesus is exalted. The hymn writer said, go labor on, spend and be spent, thy joy to do the Father's will or the Master's will. Thy joy, to walk in the way of his way, our joy to walk in his way. So this then is what's certain now. This is what's certain now. Do we have that desire to order our lives day by day for Jesus. Oh yes, but times it'll be feeble, but at times we'll stagger. But still the desire is always there. I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want to do the things that he wants me to do. So whenever you get up each day, Lord, help me to serve you today. Help me to serve you today. That would be the desire of our hearts. That's a present certainty that we are in him. The Apostle Paul makes the same point in two places in his letters. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, he said, it is God who works in you. He works in us, so we desire to do his will. We desire to do his will. We desire to do those things that bring glory to him, that God by his Spirit working in our hearts, that we will show forth his honor, show forth his glory. And then in 2 Timothy, Paul says, I know he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. He is able, that's certain. God in his great love keeps us now. He's able today. He'll be able tomorrow. And able the next day. He will keep his people. That's what's certain. Maybe you think to yourself, Luke, but sure, we don't know what lies around the corner. That is right. We don't know what lies around the corner. Maybe you'll run into some difficulty this week. Maybe you'll have to go into the hospital this week. I hope you don't, but sometimes we do. And whenever we do, Can you be sure that he's going to be with you when you go in? Yes, of course you can be sure. Can you be sure that he's never going to leave nor forsake you? Of course you can be sure he's never going to leave nor forsake you. That he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. And that even in the darkest hour, he is able to keep and he will guide us day by day. I know he is able. The hymn writer said, a sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand. A sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand. So think of the present certainties that we have at this time. We know we are in him. We know that he works in us. We know he's able to keep us day by day. He's never going to let us go. We know these things. And whatever the problem is tonight, tomorrow, the next day, God is able. He will keep us and he will not forsake us. My all to thy covenant care, my waking and sleeping resign. My all to his covenant care, my waking and sleeping provide. The present certainty, we are in Him. So that's the past certainties. We've looked at what happened, Jesus coming and His dying and what He has done for us in the past. The present certainties, what He's doing for us now, day by day. So what about the future certainties? It tells you in chapter 3 in verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The future certainties. Now, many people want to know the future. You know, sometimes reporters have to ask the questions of politicians. When do you think this pandemic's going to end? When are we going to get back to normal? And of course, the politicians can't answer the question. They only can give sort of generalities, really, and point in the future. But let's remember, it's not for us to know the future. Jesus made it clear. He said, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man is coming. Jesus is coming back again. That's something that we must keep before us. So let's think about what is certain about the future. Well, one thing that we do know, of course, is that there will be mockers and deceivers, and plenty of them in the future. Plenty of people like that. We know that the love of many will grow cold, we're told. We know that there will be much evil. And that's why I would say again, especially to the younger people, be grounded in the truth, young people. Be grounded in the Word of God. Understand what you believe. Understand the great doctrines of the faith. Understand what justification is and what adoption is and sanctification. Understand what Jesus has done. Don't be led astray whenever the Jehovah Witnesses come round or the Mormons come round or people like that. Don't be led astray. And not only those, but others as well. The sad thing is that there have been those who have been led astray. We're not to be dismayed at the sight of evil, but we're to be on our guard and be alert and to be watchful. So the first thing we know about the future is that there'll be mockers and there'll be deceivers. But what's certain also is that nothing can separate God's people from their Savior. Paul tells us that in Romans chapter 8, in that great chapter. Tribulation, he says, cannot do it. Famine cannot do it. Peril cannot do it. Even the sword, even persecution cannot do it. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's a glorious certainty, isn't it? We might have many a difficult day, and all of us are going to have difficult days. Well, we have to face, I'm sure, many a problem. But He is able. That's the thing to remember. He is able. Nothing can separate us from the Savior's love. We must always be sure of that. To rest on Him, our shield and defender. Top lady put it so well. The work which His goodness began, the arm of His strength will complete. His promises, yea and amen. And never was forfeited yet. The work that He has started, He will complete it. You know, I remember being minister for a number of years out in the country, and right beside the meeting house, there was a piece of ground. And the foundations of a house, up to the footings level, were there. And they'd been there for years. So much so there were trees growing out of the bedrooms and places. Somebody had started years and years before, had started and never finished the house. But you see, God, whenever he does a work, he will finish the work. He will finish the work. That is certain. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them unto them eternal life." And what's the rest of it? "No one shall ever pluck them out of my hand. No one shall ever pluck them out of my hand." John chapter 10, "I am his, and he is mine forever and ever." But then it's also certain that Jesus is coming for his own. We've already mentioned that. Oh, people say, "Where is the promise of his? He's coming. Be ready for him. Be ready. Each day be ready for his coming." Jesus tells us in the scriptures that things will be going on as normal when he comes. Somebody will be working in the fields, somebody will be in bed, and other people will be at the mill, in the factory, whatever the case might be. Everyday events. But Jesus is coming. He's coming for his own. But it's certain also that when he comes, we will be like him. That's what it tells us in verse 2 of chapter 3. We shall be like him. Isn't that a wonderful assurance? Us with all our imperfections, whenever he comes back again, there's a final transformation of his people, the final transformation of God's redeemed people, the final part of redemption. We've been taken away from this sinful world, and we will be forever with the Lord, free from the very presence of sin. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more of these things. And that's why we can sing that wonderful verse in the hymn that we'll sing in a moment. "Finish then thy new salvation, pure and spotless let us be. Change from glory unto glory, till in heaven we take our place. Being changed till in heaven we take our place." That's the certainty. That's the certainty that we have in the future. And it's certain that all things work together for good to them who love God. Perhaps you have at times been filled with doubts about things. Think about these certainties. Think about what Jesus did in the past, Calvary, that finished work. Think about what he's doing now in your heart and life, how he keeps you day by day. Trust him in spite of the difficulties. And think about the certainties of the future, that he is coming back again and we will be with him. All things work together for good to those who love God. Or the hymn writer put it like this: "We expect a bright tomorrow, all will be well. Faith can sing through days of sorrow, all is well. On our Father's love relying, Jesus every need supplying. Then in living or in dying, all must be well. All must be well." We have a wonderful Savior. Jesus died that we might live. Oh, let us trust him. Let us walk with him. Let us never doubt him. Let us every day seek to show forth his love. The past certainties, think upon them often. Think about Calvary. The present certainties, you've put your trust in Jesus and in him alone. The future certainties. We know we shall be like him. He's coming back for his own people. Well, have you that assurance today? Have you that certainty? Have you that certainty that you're in Christ? You're in Christ. You know that you're in Christ because you can tell by the working of the Holy Spirit in your heart and life, guiding you, your desire for Jesus, your desire to walk with him day by day, that never fails or never fades. Oh, let us trust him. Let us never doubt him, but walk with him in assurance always. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you indeed for this little book of 1 John, where it tells us so often that we know that we are in him, that we know we have eternal life. Oh, help us to understand this and with all our hearts follow day by day, not to doubt you, Lord, but to live with that assurance, that certainty that all will be well. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us sing our final hymn, the Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Thank you.
Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.